Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast covers everything tech. The hottest mobile phones, tablets, games. We review it, rate it, test it. Whether you're Microsoft or Apple, Android or iPhone, we'll give it to you
again and again.
Black and white. The Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast.
Hello and welcome into the GSMC Technology Podcast. I am your host, Tom Doherty. It is a Thursday, and of course this podcast is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. We have a few stories to bring you guys today. Firstly, we're going to talk about the new spectacles brought by Snapchat, the messaging app that everybody loves to use. You can send your pictures and such. Now, they had the first generation of spectacles came out a few years ago. Didn't really sell them. I think they sold just over 200,000 units, which is pretty low for what you want if you're a big tech company like Snapchat, who probably a few million users. I mean, only selling a couple hundred thousand units of those spectacles is not quite what they want. But now they're coming out with these next generation spectacles that are deemed more, quote, grown up or whatever you want to say. They're more adult like, but they also are more expensive. So they do take pictures and they are a little slimmer. But they also sounds like they're also waterproof too. So that we'll be talking about that in the first segment in just a second. But I'm going to go through also what we're going to talk about the rest of the show. Gmail. Google has come out with a new Gmail, and it is designed to definitely compete with the Microsoft Outlook and all their different. They already do compete. Gmail is actually pretty used pretty well, but it is designed to kind of hit Microsoft right where they don't want it, basically. And definitely something that people are going to be looking to, and there's ways to make it much more personable, and you can make the most out of it. So we'll be going through how to make the most out of your new Gmail in the second segment. In the third segment, we're going to go basically over kind of our gaming stuff. We'll do a little gaming segment. I know that the Nintendo has released the fact that they have sold a record number of the Nintendo Switches. We'll go over that and the success of the Nintendo Switch, and also probably some more updates on Fortnite and regarding the little picture everybody saw in the one on the map there, little comet picture that people don't know what it is over in the Tilted Towers. And then in the fourth segment, we're just going to go over some basic just regular updates, maybe something that doesn't really deem a full segment for itself, but we'll just go over some random some updates in the tech world, and I'll just update you guys on all that kind of stuff. So now we're going to get back into the Snapchat stuff. There is a new spectacles you can buy. They're going to be $150, which is $20 more than the previous model. But they're now going to be coming in different colors. You can get them in onyx black, ruby red, or sapphire blue, and all jewel tones. And they've also been slimmed down quite a bit. So I mean, they still kind of look like those old like those kind of hipster glasses a little bit with the cameras in the corners of them. But now they can take pictures, and they're also water resistant, like I said. So instead of just being able to film stuff, they said that, it is interesting. They do have a little cool little design on there, but they definitely had to take a little hit as third quarter last year. I think they took quite a hit when they realized they did not sell as many of the first generation as they could, and they ended up having to lay off some people. So, yeah, I mean, they made so far that, 150,000 units or so were oversold. I said I heard 200, but yeah, we're seeing reports it's going to be about 150 units were sold. I mean, and then about half of those people didn't continue to use them. So Yeah, they, I mean, they kind of, they didn't really feel like more. I mean, the thing is, people were coming out and saying like, yeah, I mean, I could imagine when, if I was to get some, I wouldn't really wear them as a functional sunglass. I would kind of just put them on to do what I wanted to do, like with the whole recording aspect of it. They felt like more of like a toy application kind of thing versus something you'd wear every day and then use the function of it when you wanted to, like a pair of sunglasses that just happened to have a camera on them. They're more like a camera that happened to be sunglasses kind of thing. So, I mean, people, they look kind of, they, I mean, they just seem like sunglasses. I lose my sunglasses probably once every few months. That's why I don't buy expensive sunglasses. So spending $150 or, I mean, it used to be $130 on these things and then misplacing them or putting them away in the drawer or not even, or forgetting where they were is kind of a stinker thing. So, I mean, they definitely have to, they're definitely going to figure it out. And the fact that, I mean, yeah, it lost about $720 million last year on the, I mean, on this hardware. I mean, it's just hardware. It's just extremely it's really hard to do this well, especially when you're talking about something like this. You want to make it, obviously, there's design aspects to it. There's aesthetics. There's functionality of it. It all has to be wireless, obviously. So when you're taking these pictures, you are sending the first, I mean, I think now better on the second generation with the whole fact that you can take pictures, you can get them wet. You don't have to handle them with kid gloves more. They're definitely more durable. And the transfer speed between your phone and the glasses are definitely better I believe with the first ones. Quite a while for it to get from the streaming the video to your phone that where it's the footage that was taken on the glasses, that is. So, I mean, now you can, it's all a smaller design. Obviously, they're able to fit, I mean, because I feel like the first model of something is always going to be like kind of bulky. This is proprietary technology where you're putting you're fitting two cameras in the arms of the glasses. And also a transmitter in order for it to be have the data transferred to the phone. So, I mean, now they're able to get it smaller, basically. They found a way to get it smaller, compact it down, and make the whole, that in turn makes the whole product smaller in itself. And it fits, now it's saying it will fit more easily into get into your pants pocket, and it'll actually dangle in front of your shirt, look like a pair of real sunglasses. So, like, they're kind of transferring it, like I said before, into sunglasses that happen to have cameras on them versus a camera that happened to be sunglasses that you, I want a POV view of this. So I'm just going to have to get these. I'm going to get these things versus like, okay, now I'm just want a pair of sunglasses. Oh, but these look cool. And, I mean, you're able to just wear them. Oh, they happen to have glasses on them. So now you can transfer. I mean, you could have, you had to connect the spectacles to the Wi-Fi. Spectacles Wi-Fi network. Like I said, it would take a few minutes to download the videos to your phone, and you have to import them in. Now it seems like they're going to be able to get them three or four times faster with these download speeds, and they have to just. I mean, it's going to be changing it. We're going to be now. I mean, it used to be you can just upload your photos to iCloud or Google Photos or whatever you have you from wherever or device you're using. You have to go into their Spectacles Wi-Fi network and be able to transfer the photos over. So it still seems kind of like annoying the fact that you have to do that, but they did make them waterproof. I mean, if you're looking at the two different ones next to each other, they're a little more. Yeah. I mean, if you, looking at the two pictures of these spectacles next to each other, definitely slimmed down, definitely a little more chic in the fact that you're going to wear them as regular sunglasses. They don't have the big yellow circles on them. Like, hey, I have a camera here. I mean, you can still obviously tell it has a camera, but I mean, it's a little better. And the fact that, and also the photo resolution of the cameras and has also been improved about 25%. So, it's all high definition, all photo and video. There's no SD. There's no standard definition anymore. Standard definition mode, but now that's all gone away and it's all going to be the high definition stuff. Now we're in 2018. It's all high definition. So it looks like that, You also can, like I said, it's waterproof, so no more worrying about if it's in, you're in the rain or such, or if you're by the pool, you're kind of, I think that's the whole idea, is the fact that, I mean, these are not only practical things to be worn, like, I don't think you wear them like day, every day, but when you're on vacation, most vacations involve some sort of water or pool or something like that, whether you're on a cruise or the beach or something. If you're on vacation, you're probably going to want to wear these because it's kind of cool. You're already wearing your... It's like, I mean, it is functional. Like I said, especially if you're on vacation. Say you go to Disneyland and you don't have to kind of whip your phone out every time you want to take a picture. You have these camera right in your glasses. You press a button, boom. You took a picture of your buddy with his family at the Matterhorn or something. Or if you're on a roller coaster and you want to take a POV video of it, while you're wearing the sunglasses, just start recording, and you don't have to worry about it, anything splashing at you or anything. Like if you're on the Matterhorn, when the ride's over, it splashes in that water. You don't want to have to worry about getting the water on it. So that's just an example of, I mean, yeah. So it looks like it's water resistant to shallow depths, and the company says you can safely dive into a pool with them or splash around in the ocean. So I mean, it is, yeah. Like I said, they're trying to market it more. To more functional uses, whether it's like, I mean, I would wear those things on vacation. It'd kind of be kind of cool. I mean, I kind of gave an example of the Disneyland thing, but it also seems like it could be done like when you're going on a trip, major trip or something like that, whether it's on a cruise or going to the beach or something. It'd be kind of fun to wear those and just have them where you're just kind of recording your life as you go along. I mean, that was the whole idea with Snapchat. Like when you go on these, I've seen stories where people are putting these snaps on from their spectacles. And they're honestly pretty cool. So, I mean, the idea of it is a good idea. And hopefully for Snapchat's sake, they can get this, these new ones more out there, more marketable, even though, I mean, I don't know about how raising the prices are going to be, are going to help that. But I mean, it looks like that they are just making a bunch of improvements, and those improvements cost more. So people are willing to pay more for a better product, I guess. Also the case they come in is the charger for the glasses, which is also waterproof. So just want to let you guys know that. I mean, they do look pretty cool. They're a little better looking than the, definitely a little better looking than the previous model that came out, because they're just more sleek. They definitely are not as flashy in your face. Like I said, the first ones came out, I thought they were always kind of weird because I'm like, okay, I'm going to wear these just to use them. I'm not going to wear them as sunglasses. I'm going to use them just to record stuff because they have big circles around the cameras. And it's like, oh, hello. We got to let everybody know. I mean, now I kind of think this is the secondary thing. You don't have to have those big circles on there where people are like, okay, we understand they're spectacles. You got cameras on them. Like, we get it. So, I mean, yeah, this is going to be kind of cool. I'm going to have to go save up for some of these and go try them out, and then maybe we'll do like my own personal review. But looking at, just want to report now that they are releasing this new spectacle out there. So if you, I mean, the whole thing was that they had vending machines. I don't know if they only have them in probably Los Angeles or New York, where you can actually go to a vending machine and go buy them out of the vending machine. That may have been kind of the gimmick kind of thing that got them going in the beginning. But yeah, so it looks like they're trying to also to, as I'm getting my report through here, from my notes, they are also all trying to work on getting them polarized lenses and prescription lenses with Lensable. So Snapchat is also working with that company, Lensable, as they're trying to work and get them to be more available for those who need a prescription or want polarized sunglasses. So, I mean, you can get them through when you buy them through spectacles.com. So it looks like that's what they're going for now. Yeah. Snapchat doubling down on their spectacle thing. Spectacle project. They did take a bit of a hit last time. They're trying to fix that up and try and make sure maybe recoup some funds. See if this is on the second go around, it'll work out a little better, because I mean, it is a better product in all sorts of things. I mean, three major things that are definitely better: the waterproof, the fact that it's waterproof, the fact now that it takes pictures, and the slimmer and more chic design actually could be looking like, I mean, seeing pictures of people wearing them, they actually look like real sunglasses. They don't look like they're Snapchat spectacles. They look like real sunglasses that just happen to have cameras on the corners of the frames. All right, that'll wrap it up for this segment. In the next segment, we're going to go over Gmail and the revamped look of it and how it's going to be kind of, well, not only is it, I mean, trying to maybe get Outlook out of there. I know Outlook is already kind of out of there, but I know Microsoft has a bunch. They have all their mail stuff like with offices and stuff. I know I've been using Gmail for a long time, but they've kind of changed it. And I'll give you some tips and tricks on how to best use your Gmail when I get back.
You want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do. All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
All right, welcome back to the GSMC Technology Podcast. This segment, we're going to be going over some changes Google has made to its Gmail, as well as some new apps actually has come out with you can be using on your computers. All right, so for the Gmail, it's going to be rolled out this week, and it's going to be, Google has built over a billion users that have used its Gmail service. And so it's going to be making an update that's going to be rolling out over this next week. And there's going to be different things that are coming out at different times. So eventually there is going to be some high priority notifications, confidentiality mode, and better online offline support. That's going to be coming a bit later. As of now, you can do some other stuff. So the big one that I actually kind of like is the fact that now you can snooze your emails. So there is going to be a little icon on each email that is going to look like a little analog clock. And you can just click that and it'll snooze your email, which means it's kind of like you press and snooze on your alarm clock, where it'll add 8 minutes or 5 minutes, and then it'll alarm you again. Except this email, it's not going to do that with your emails, but kind of in a way where you hit the snooze button and you're going to be given an option to have it remind you again the next day, the next week, a bit later. So I mean, you can also hit someday, which means it will just put. I mean, it's just going to be separate. There's going to be a separate inbox saying what it's going to give you. It's going to give you an option to So you can come and it'll put in that snooze mailbox until you get around to looking again. So yeah, you can do tomorrow, next week, or next weekend, or you can pick a specific time for it to pop up again. So it'll give you another notification for your mails, your whatever email it might be. So it's kind of a cool function, especially for those who get a lot of emails from, if they're emailing a lot with your jobs out there and everything, but you get an email from your mom and you're bogged down with emails from your job, and you get an email from mom and you're like, okay, I don't want to deal with this right now, but I also don't want to forget about it. So I'll push snooze on it and it'll let me know in a couple hours or the next day. So it will basically just keep you from forgetting about emails that maybe you overlooked or don't have time to look at certain points, which is kind of cool. I know that's a good idea. Smart Reply is something actually that's been around for a little bit. It's kind of like an AI service where if you use Smart Reply, it'll use a Google machine for suggesting certain replies to emails, whether it's like a thank you or I'm working on it or something like that. And the more you use it, the better it is at kind of guessing what you want it to say. So you can also, you can either have it ignore the email for you. You can pick one of the replies and hit send, or you can add additional text. So it'll basically suggest certain things offer you to reply. So it means to kind of do it for you. You have to tell it to do it, but it'll give you the option and it'll kind of offer this like, hey, you can say thanks. It'll kind of tell what the sent email was or the received email was, and you can, whatever your reply might be, it'll give you some suggestions on what you want to do. So it's, I mean, it's been around for a while, but they are they're kind of improving that as this new update comes out. All right, the big one is the interface now with a tool panel, and the fact that I'm going to get into these kind of these new revamp apps that they're doing. They talk about, obviously there's a calendar app, which is pretty straightforward. It's your calendar. They are revamping it a little more, but they also have the Tasks app and the Keep app. So Keep is kind of like the it's going to be their version of like the more post-it notes or Siri. It's going to be kind of a combination of post-it notes and the more in-depth, serious research note-taking programs like Evernote or OneNote. So you can now kind of combine all that stuff together where you're going to have to be able to connect those to your email accounts where you can just grab stuff from there and boom, okay, what's taking notes about this? Boom, send it off to somebody. Or you have a little post-it note you want to send off to somebody, boom, it's done. So I'll get into the whole more about the Keep app in just a moment. And also there's a Tasks app, which is a little better now, and you can have your to-do list right at your fingertips. So it looks like that for this Tasks app, you can keep your to-do list front and center while you're on Google. So you can kind of keep, instead of having things get locked, lost away or stuff like that, you can kind of just put your to-do list right alongside all of your emails and everything, kind of having a big dashboard of what is not, I mean, it's not the main, it's not a big to-do app. You obviously have to make a list or something like that. You check it off stuff, but it will, it's going to be more form and function. The fact that it's going to be more a list of, you're going to be greeted with a list of tasks, basically, kind of thing, where you're going to be, instead of just kind of reminding you being A, B, C, D, E, it's kind of just like, okay, here's how to start your day kind of thing. And yeah, so I mean, that's kind of interesting. It's going to be, it's more of like a general reminder kind of thing where, I mean, I know there's different apps and stuff like that on even on the iPhone or things where you have reminder apps and stuff like that. But I don't know, people really rely on lists, and this is an interesting way for them. So, I mean, there's going to be, yeah, it's going to be, you can switch between different accounts, obviously, because I know people have it for work and stuff like that. So if you're using a G Suite, you can have these, probably can, these are obviously going to be able to be controlled by the administrator, and you can have a different, where it's going to open up and give you more ways to find out who you got to do quicker. I mean, it's going to keep it all organized and everything, whether it's a separate list or you can create a new list altogether based off of what you want to do and what you are being told to do, if that's what you're using the task app for. So it looks like that you can definitely personalize it the way you want, instead of whether it's a, it's all kind of integrated into itself with, and you can check, you're checking it off as you do. Yeah. So it looks like, obviously for people who are working in an office or working on the profession, for any professional level and using the G Suite technology or just Google, I mean, most offices are having have an integrated email account where it is a G Suite kind of thing. So it's also want to let you guys know if you are using the G Suite and you want to update to the new Chrome, to the new Gmail, you need to, the administrator has to go into their own settings and go and say, try new mail. For those who don't use a G Suite, you just go into your own settings, a little gear wheel up in the top corner of your browser there of the screen, and it'll offer you the option to try the new Google Gmail, which is actually looking like it's pretty cool. So it's a little more integrated, easier to use, and that whole snoozing the email stuff is pretty cool. I like that. So I like that a lot. So it looks like that they, I mean, yeah, anything. Google Tasks, basically they're putting anything on there. You can use it for any, that's their whole thing. Google Tasks, any task, any goal, get things done. And yeah, so it's like going to be, I don't know how complicated it can be when you're just writing out a to-do list, basically. But it looks like that it does integrate with your, obviously it goes with your calendar, everything goes together, and it connects to your email as well, so you're going to get reminders about it. It'll probably send you emails from your little task app, and don't forget to do this, because I mean, when you're in a fast-paced world, you don't really, things can slip by, and you can edit tasks from anywhere, anytime, and then sync across all your devices, and it'll integrate obviously with the calendar and Gmail. So, which is actually pretty cool. The fact, I mean, imagine like if you have like a big job or a big project, and even for students, I think this thing actually would be a really good application for students. For me, especially, being done with school, obviously, I would like to have this because I'm not a big writing list person, but if I was able to have a calendar and then also the email account. So, I mean, what it all kind of does is it does it by itself, where you're going to say somebody sends you an email with a invite on it or a due date or something like that. You can add that to your calendar, and then that's, it'll add it to your to-do list. It'll go boom, boom, boom. It'll just kind of going all in order, which is actually really cool. And how it's going to work is, I mean, it's all seamless kind of thing, where it's going to go, okay, this is from your calendar. This is this day. You need to do this. It's going to basically put it on there for you. And that's pretty cool. So I like that idea. I like that part of it for Google kind of making everything go right to your, like I said, it's going to be right at your fingertips, and it's going to be all integrated and linked. So if you have multiple, even if you have multiple devices, whether it's going to be on your tablet, your iPhone, your laptop, if you're using even a work computer, obviously it's all linked through your specific Gmail account. So you're going to have it for your personal account. You're going to have it for your work account. So definitely going to make things a little more efficient for people. It's like, okay, let me look at my calendar and then put it on my to-do list. No, it's already going to be done for you. It's all done. And I mean, even like the email kind of thing. So yeah, if you have an invite from your thing, it's going to give you an option. Boom, put it on my calendar. Add to tasks for the day or for tomorrow or for the next day. So it's all integrated on there, and you can even check it. Like another tasks app on the interface, it even has a little calendar logo or the calendar icon where you can click and actually look at your whole week of things that you're doing. So I mean, for those who are busy and out there working a fast paced life, this is definitely something for you. And that you want to look at, something that Microsoft has yet to kind of figure out regarding integrating it all across the different platforms. Because I know people, I know they have Outlook and stuff like that, but I'm not sure what their whole task app is. I know there's Evernote and OneNote, and for note taking, I don't think they have really a to-do or a task app that maybe Windows or Microsoft has put forward, but Google is getting it all put on one, where especially they're going to be able to use their smart, just Google machine technology. That's kind of what they're calling it now. And grabbing things from grabbing information and putting it where you need to see it, and where it's going to pull it up for you at the outset. So yeah, I just think that Tasks app is really cool. So I mean, it's going to get, yeah. So put your to-do list right in front of your face. And I mean, it isn't really a to-do app. It's kind of a everything. It's a day planner. It's kind of it's going to grab everything and put it in a simplified form right in front of you in a list thing where you can obviously check things off, whether even if you have an appointment or have something, a dentist appointment, or have some sort of meeting or something like that, or even need to go talk to somebody about something, it doesn't matter. You can put it on there, and it has many multiple visible options where you can get more depth and get more leaf, and you won't be wasting time trying to figure things out. You're going to be putting things on your to-do list and getting things all figured out. So I mean, there's all these different ideas. I mean, I'm getting a little screenshot here of the My Tasks, and you can just boom, add a new task, or you can have it integrated with your a little review. It tells you to review something for the next day. That's pretty cool. You can all even have it on your with your calendar showing when your meeting is for the next day. So say you have a meeting tomorrow, you can have it tell you to review your notes for the meeting tomorrow, and it'll tell you, okay, the meeting's tomorrow, and it'll count down the days for you. I mean, that's pretty awesome. All right, that'll finish it up for this Google segment. I'm kind of just gushing about Google, which I've always liked. I've always been a Google fan. All right, next segment, we're going to go over some stuff with gaming regarding the news that Nintendo is actually having a pretty good showing with their Nintendo Switch. I think they've sold, well, I'll let you know how many units they've sold when I come back. But yeah, no, they definitely have had a nice little showing with the Nintendo Switch as they continue to roll on. And I mean, I kind of went over that whole, I mean, I think I went over the Nintendo Labo stuff last time. If I didn't, I can go over, I'll touch on it a little bit when we come back, but it's really cool as it is bringing Nintendo Switch into the kind of going back, and you can definitely make it into your, you're making it into a project. It's a family thing. It's not just a kid thing where you're just playing their game. It's a much more inclusive kind of stuff where this Nintendo Switch is trying to get everybody going. It's like the, I remember when the Nintendo Wii came out, it was kind of a, it kind of came and went, but they're trying to get back on that and, make it so where not only you're playing, sometimes you could play personal by yourself or you can put it and play with people. All right. I'll be back, right back with all the information about that stuff.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
All right, welcome back to the GSMC Technology Podcast. All right, we're going to go through some gaming stuff in this segment. We're going to talk about the Nintendo Switch and the fact that it should not be underestimated. It should not be taken lightly. I mean, I don't think anything Nintendo shouldn't be taken lightly. It's such a following. It has so many games that people love to play on its consoles. And, I mean, there's just the earnings for the 2017 fiscal year came out today. And, I mean, there's a bunch of sales numbers to look at. There's, I mean, I know this is a technology show, but I mean, it's also a technology news show. And Nintendo is a major technology company, when it comes to gaming, and their sales are nothing short of impressive because they just, I mean, if you're a Nintendo fan, it's make you feel good because all your hard work and support has been definitely been shared across the world and been shown that, Nintendo is a beast when it comes to Nintendo is a beast when it comes to just making consoles. I know the Wii came out and they did all the different kind of thing. Whether it was the Wii U or the Wii Fit or something like that. Now they have a Nintendo Switch, which is like, what a genius idea. Honestly, just to take a second, a little commentary for a sec. The fact that when I first saw this, the fact that it was coming out, like that is so cool. The fact that you know are going to be given a little tablet thing to play handheld, like the Wii U. Or you can pop it in the little dash and take these little things off, and all of a sudden, boom, they're your controllers. It's the fact that you get not one, but two different ways of playing this. You can play it with people. I mean, you can play it by yourself, so whatever you want. So, I mean, there's so many different games on this console that we're like to play. I mean, the fact they're going to be coming out now, Pokemon's coming out with a new game. I know people are going to be playing that probably on their 3DSs, but I mean, why not play it on the Switch? I mean, there's going to be new stuff that you're going to be giving up. I know I'm going to go over some games that are going to be like the best selling games and stuff like that, from the Switch and how the different numbers are going over that, but I'll go over that in just a second. But I mean, what a great idea from Nintendo. Never fails. I mean, I know the Wii was the first one to come out with the whole wireless controller motion stuff like that, where you're controlling it with the little stick and stuff, and you can put it in there. It's all motion captured. I mean motion controlled kind of stuff. I know that then it came out with, I mean, the other consoles, the other company tried to jump on that with the PlayStation View or something, and then the Xbox Kinect. I mean, the Kinect honestly was the one that hit probably the hardest at the end of all everything. The Wii had a pretty big following to begin with. I mean, I remember everybody wanted to play Wii Sports. So, are you going to go play some Wii Bowling or Wii Sports Resort? Are you going to do some jousting or whatever they mean, it's like sword fighting. It was kind of pretty. It was actually pretty cool, or archery, whatever you wanted to do. I mean, this was actually a pretty cool game. So lots of different games on there. On the Wii U, you can even play. I think they even have like a little mount you can put the controller in. You can play Call of Duty or some FPS is on there. So you can play different games on that on the Wii console. Now on the Switch, just to go over their stuff. I mean, that's the ingenious on Nintendo's part of it to come up with this, something like this, and it's definitely been heard, as they now have reported that the system itself has sold over almost 18 million units, which is four more than the Wii U sold in its entire lifetime. So 17 million units in the first year of its inception. And the forecast was 15 million for Nintendo, and analysts had a 60 million unit estimate. So, I mean, yeah, closer to 18 million there on the sales for units. That's only in the first year. Yeah, like I said, compared to the Wii U, which was only 16 million in its entire. I mean, if you could do math there, that's only, I mean, the Wii U only sold almost under 14 million units in its entire lifetime. I think the Wii U was just kind of piggybacking on the Nintendo Wii in itself. I don't think it was really that big of a hit. But, I mean, it's kind of was the thing where you're having the handheld little gaming system like that where it's the U. And it's connected to the TV. But this is now the point where you can kind of slide the controllers off of there. You can... And I think that was the idea, was it? People like to have things in their hands. People like to have a controller. Like, I know that Xbox Kinect was trying to get into that whole, like, the no controller, all gesture control kind of stuff where you have the cameras and stuff like that. I mean, it was just getting too expensive at the point that Xboxes are already up $400 with a game and everything. That's just one game. Unless you get lucky and get a bundle. But and then add another, what was it? The Kinect for the new Kinect, I think it was like $100 to $150 for the Kinect, and that's just for a camera. So it wasn't really, people weren't seeing the cost effectiveness of it, so it wasn't really that worth it. Now we have the Wii U where it's like, okay, we don't really have to worry about a camera or having the motion controlled controllers. We're just having something that's going to be handheld, and then we can, if we don't want to be handheld, we just pop it in the, we want to have a bigger screen, you pop it on the little dock, and you have it on the big screen and use the controllers separately. All right. So continuing on with the numbers on the Switch, the best selling Switch game was actually Super Mario Odyssey. That's the thing. People love their Mario Brothers. People love that franchise of game. I mean, the next one, also was the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe sold. I mean that was right underneath. I mean, Mario Kart Odyssey sold 10.4 million copies. Super Mario Odyssey, and then Mario Kart Deluxe sold 9.2 million copies. I mean, in the first year, Wii U's Mario Kart sold, 8.4. So I mean, that was in 2014. That was 4 years ago. And and it's already been outsold in a year. So, I mean, yeah, been less than a year for Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. I mean, it's just ridiculous how this stuff is. Just, you can tell what things sell, what things don't sell, how people like things that are popular. I think, that's the thing. They waited after the Wii U. People got, okay, when's the next Nintendo console coming out? What's going on? And then they come out with the Switch. It's like, oh, that's what they were waiting for. They're waiting for something big because, I mean, and it's cool. It's kind of a cool name, too. When I first saw it, I'm like, Nintendo Switch, because you can, that's pretty practical. Just switch it up, huh? All right. That makes sense. they're releasing more games. I think it's more, it's just better for more games anyways, because it has the controllers, and most of our favorite games we need controllers for, like Zelda. The best sibling Zelda game was Breath of the Wind, and it's the best-selling game. It's now the best-selling Zelda game of all time, actually. And it sold over almost 8.5 million copies on the Switch. So, I mean, that's more than a million than the Wii U. The previous best-selling game was Twilight Princess for Zelda, and it was simultaneously launched on the Wii U and GameCube. That was way back in 2006. So they just broke a record that was 12 years old. And with the new console, we've had plenty of new consoles
since then that are play Zelda. So I mean, the Wii and GameCube. I remember I had a GameCube. That was so sweet. I love that GameCube. What a good game. All right. I mean, yeah. So I mean, there's been more games. I can keep in and out. I mean, different games have skyrocketed. Splatoon 2 has skyrocketed since then, hitting 6.2 million copies on the Switch. I mean, Kirby Star Allies sold 1.2 million copies. Kirby. This is the Kirby Fluff Ball. I mean, it sold almost over 2 million copies. I mean, it's just making it more. It's making it more available and more awesome to play this Nintendo Switch, and yeah, it definitely should not be underrated. All right, okay. So actually, I don't think I went over this whole Nintendo Labo thing, which actually is pretty cool. On the Nintendo Switch, you can actually there's an app on there. I think it's a game. You can get where it gives you step by step instructions to basically build arts and crafts that go with your Nintendo Switch. I've seen pictures of people with their Switch, like it helps them build different kinds of stands for the Switch. I mean, it's a lot of folding and a lot of pinching and a lot of different things like that to make little things with the cardboard. But it's a step by step thing that you can kind of work with, whether it's with your kids or with a family member kind of thing. It's all inclusive with all ages. And it's pretty cool because it just makes it so it's integrating with the game. So it's kind of making it so you have to play this. You have to get this thing if you want to play this game. Everybody's talking about it. But you have to get the Switch because it goes right with it. It's only game. You can only get it on there. And yeah, it's a Nintendo Labo. I mean, it's actually pretty cool. I mean, people are making different creations with this, whether it's a little piano kind of thing that you put your Switch inside of. I've seen people with like piano keys. And this is all with cardboard. This stuff looks really cool. I mean, these are really step-by-step design. I mean, I've seen people have made a cardboard guitar. I mean, this is different stuff where it's going to be DIY cardboard construction kits, basically. So that's what they're calling it. And it's really making it all for all ages. Now we have obviously these teenagers that all like to play video games. We're trying to get people maybe off the actual screen and trying to maybe use the screen to get back with something, using something with your hands, just dexterity kind of thing. Or it's a creation kind of thing where you're being more creative and using it to actually build stuff that's more low tech kind of thing. So it's kind of going back to throwback to low tech, but you're using high tech to get the directions. And I mean, instead of like, I remember when I used to play with Legos, you only get so many little booklets of how many directions to build things with. Now with the Nintendo Switch, you can get this Nintendo Labo construction kits, and it's got endless different templates and I'm trying to think of the word for it. But templates are a pretty good idea. Tutorials. There you go. Endless tutorials on how to build different things. And I mean, yeah, it's kind of tedious. Definitely all these reports and things. I've even tried it. It's pretty tedious. You got to, what do you do? Fold or raise or bend it or make a little spring out of cardboard. But I mean, all these different functionalities you're going to find and learn new things. And it's definitely something to do. Cool to do with the young ones and everybody in the family. So I mean, you got to be able to. You can even turn it. You can turn everything. The Switch, it can be integrated into these designs. You can slide your little screen thing into. Like I said, people have slid the little screen thing into this little keyboard thing they built with the cardboard. So it's actually pretty cool, and everything's very, very much all hands on, and getting people to actually get off of the gaming, maybe get off the gaming side of it for just a second and maybe go use your hands and learn something new. And when it's step-by-step directions, it's always pretty cool because, I mean, just you need to be creative, but it's also actually kind of guiding you along the way. So you don't get frustrated. It's like, oh my gosh, what do I do here? It's like, no, we're just building some cool stuff. Everybody's got something to build, and you can kind of just make your own thing. Okay, who did it better than him? Little Johnny did it cool. Made a cool little thing. So, yeah, there's even going to be more stuff, I think, with this. They're coming out with this new paper version of the game. People are creating paper versions of games and things like that because they can kind of integrate the Nintendo Switch into their creations of these games and these different templates that were created from the archives of the Switch. Nintendo Labo. Go look it up if you want to make some cardboard tools and boxes and cool little piano things, or even a Nintendo, or even a cardboard guitar. All right. All right, in the next segment, we're just going to use this as our update segment. We're going to go through all the different things that have come out and different updates from today, and we're going to go through them, and I'm just going to kind of go and give my thoughts on each different thing. So it's not going to be, it's kind of going to be a mixed bag, grab bag segment. When we get back, we're going to cover all the latest news from today.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, welcome back to the final segment of the GSMC Technology Podcast. In the segment, we're going to just be giving up. Give me some, maybe a little grab bag segment, some stuff I'm got reported here. Let's give you some, passing forward some reports here. We got some stuff about more about Alexa. I did do a big thing about it, the fact that Alexa is going to be getting some more personalized skills. You can tell her kind of just personalized responses and stuff, whether it's jokes or what have you. I mean, it's kind of a more lighthearted side of it, but that's just an example of what you can do with Alexa. Now it says Alexa will be gaining a memory and can converse. Well, she'll be able to, I'm going to call her she because it's just becoming more and more personal. And yeah, she'll be able to converse more naturally. So you can definitely give her her skills and stuff like that. What I was talking about before, give her skills and she'll automatically launch them now at certain times that in response to certain questions. So if you, you don't have to program it. You don't have a coder. You don't have any coders, background or skills or anything like that, but you just are going to be able to have an Alexa that's more personalized, smarter, and more engaging, as the now you can just have her do whatever you kind of want, whether it's a tell her to remember somebody's birthday, and on that day they'll tell the person happy birthday. Just another example. All right, we have a leaked iPhone pic. It shows a glass back and a headphone jack. So it says the headphone jack can still have a few. I mean, that's the thing. I think that they might have to put that back on maybe one model. Give people an option. I think people are kind of getting upset now that, I mean, yeah, everything kind of getting into that wireless headphone kind of thing. I like wireless headphones, but not everybody does. Not everybody can afford wireless headphones. They still like the iPhone. Not everybody wants them. So, I mean, not everybody has that really likes to have a worry about pairing them or anything like that. Maybe just dealing with a corded headphone. Some people like the sound quality better of the corded headphone, which I can completely understand because, the new Bluetooth technology, the newest update of Bluetooth, it's pretty close, honestly, for my own thing. But some people have ears that are just like, no, I can't do the Bluetooth. So Apple probably lost some customers that way when it took the headphone jack off the phone and made people either have to go buy something else, which is what people love to do, go buy another accessory from us, go buy the headphone splitter, the headphone adapter to get to the put it in the lightning cable, or switch phones, basically. I mean, it's not even also the headphone problem. It's people that not everybody has Bluetooth in their cars either. Like, I don't have Bluetooth in my car. I'm lucky enough to have the little charging port that goes right from a USB port into my light with a lightning cable, and it actually plays music through it. I'm lucky enough that it has that. And I don't have to worry about putting it through a headphone jack because, I mean, some people only have like just the AUX cable capabilities where you have to plug the cord in. Plug the cord in and then plug it into your phone. And you don't have, like my parents in their car, same thing. They don't have the little adapter. It's like the end of the world. Oh my gosh, can't listen to music in the car. But so it looks like Apple might be getting, at least in one of the models for the new iPhone models, is going to be having the headphone jack. And it looks like it's going to be the current, like, yeah, like the, when they came out with the iPhone SE, the kind of like throwback to the iPhone 4 S, because people like this, people wanted the smaller phone, the more affordable smaller phone. And that one will probably have to be the one that has the headphone jack on it. So there was some leaked pictures of the future iPhone, and it says, yeah, an SE2 basically. So what's going to be is the SE2 is going to have the glass back and a headphone jack. So that's gonna be kind of cool. I like that fact that it's gonna be a more of a design, like just like the iPhone 5 that came out. So we'll see what happens when it comes to the wireless charging, though, which I know that you can do on the iPhone X, and I think the iPhone 8 you can also do wireless charging if you get the little pad for it. I've seen people do it, but if they got a case or if you get a special case that actually works it. All right, news report saying that Waze is signing a data sharing deal with an AI-based traffic management startup called Waycare. So it looks like Waze is trying to get into get into that market. Obviously, people are using that more than Google Maps. I like Google Maps because it has more of the real time traffic and tells me. But I mean, Waze is honestly, they're pretty cool. In fact, it's like, I think Waze got the rap where it's like, oh, that's the app that tells you where the cops are, basically. Which is, or there's a traffic. So I mean, it's pretty functional. It's like where the cop, I mean, it tells you if there's any authorities ahead, tells you if there's an accident, tells you if there's an obstruction on the road, if there's a stoppage or anything like that. It might be getting, they're getting in partnership with this AI company, Waycare. I mean, it's artificial intelligence traffic management startup. So it's going to be getting in partnership with them probably because it's going to be getting their technology integrated onto their system where it's going to be more AI based traffic versus user based. I mean, this used to be people having to input certain things like, oh, I see an accident or something like that, versus this artificial intelligence could be mining for, I mean, they could probably search different things regarding seeing accident reports or something like that in real time, and then being able to turn them off. And when they're done, like saying when the first responders are gone, like I've seen multiple times where it's like, oh, accident reported ahead, and it's gone. It was 20 minutes ago. It's a little outdated. So it's going to be kind of cool. It's going to be active. It's going to start somewhere. Only going to start in three states, Nevada, Florida, and California. It's where it's going to start. So it looks like that it's going to be keeping it, it'll be integrated right into the app's usual interface, and they'll be using their data to better route your trip and get you to pass through traffic, which is actually kind of cool. Nobody likes traffic. All right. Quick little update on the Nintendo Switch stuff. I did say they sold 15 million consoles, but I forgot to mention that Nintendo, actually their profits have skyrocketed 500%. Just by the way, Nintendo looking pretty good right there. All right, BMW is announcing that they are going to be getting in with a company called LiDAR, or it's a LiDAR company called Innovitz. They're reading it backwards. They're going to be making their own self-driving cars, so it looks like BMW is going to be getting in on the old self-driving car game, which is the first. It looks like, I think, well, other than Tesla, I mean, which you can call Tesla a luxury car, but one of the old boys in the luxury car game are getting into the self-driving market. As we continue on here, sauntering on, we got about just a few minutes left. We got to cover a few more things here on this Thursday here on the Technology Podcast. A good day here to talk about pretty much a lot of different stuff. I mean, we've had a big week when it comes to quarterly earnings and everybody. I know Facebook came out and it actually did report a pretty positive earnings report, even though they had a big issue that we've covered on this show in extent when it comes to privacy and data mining and data sharing issues, stuff like that. But it looks like it hasn't really affected their bottom line as they have continued to saunter on with their money, their cash cow money making, as they become even more soluble. And I mean, they had a pretty nice earnings report, as I was reported to earlier. Right now, their stock is at, I mean, we're going to, I was like, Technology and Business Report, their stock is up 8% today. So, I mean, you like that. If you are a shareholder, up $14 on the day already for Facebook. So, their earnings, that's what happens when you have a good earnings report coming out. Maybe this earnings, it may affect the next quarter, because I mean, kind of all this stuff kind of happened later in this first quarter. So, whether it's a good showing on the fact that Mark Zuckerberg got through Congress all right, or it's just a little good, and then we're going to get a little bad on the back end of it. All right, next story coming up here. Like I said, I talked about Alexa. Oh, yeah, there was an e-waste recycler was trying to sell. This was an interesting story. I saw this earlier today. I wanted to talk about it. Yeah, but e-waste recycler is going to be serving a 15-month sentence because they were selling discs with free Microsoft software on it. I imagine that. I mean, I'm not going to say good for anybody. I mean, that's not very forthright or not good business right there. But this guy is serving over a year in prison for selling Microsoft Restore discs, whether it's somebody who he was given them or he had them made or given them to selling them to a refurbishing shop for 25 cents each. How nice. So when it's really $25 a disc. That'll get you to go to jail. All right. We have new stuff regarding Fortnite. Oh, I did want to talk about Fortnite. I know we had some issues with, I kind of teased at the beginning the fact that they had that nobody knows what that little picture or little drawing on this board or whether it's a logo of a comet kind of falling down, but they are now revealing Fortnite Battle Royale is revealing its season 4 theme, and it possibly is answering that comet question. But they are revealing the fact that it revealing the theme, and it's going to be we don't know though. It's going to be a question, as they did post a teaser image on the social media accounts as a tiny preview, but it reveals appears to be revealed the theme all the same. It was going to be kind of a blazing path of fire, as it might be going towards more of post-apocalyptic world, as that comet could be meaning, like, you know, the whole big asteroid that just to kill the dinosaurs kind of thing. It's going to be looking like that. Maybe the second theme is going to be some sort of post-apocalyptic map, what kind of world where these superheroes arrive to clean up the mess after the comet hits. So everybody's kind of predicting here. There's a few options to go for, as a superhero of sorts has been shown on the Fortnite season 4 poster that was teased, and people are just kind of extrapolating their own stuff from there. All right. Just to wrap up for today, we went over the new Gmail, kind of gave you guys some tips and tricks, and kind of let you guys know what is to be expected on the new Gmail and how to access it. Again, if you are on the G Suite, you have to go to your admin, or if you are an admin on the G Suite, you go into your settings and go find the new Gmail button where it's going to be try the new Gmail. If you are just using the Gmail in your personal account and you want to see the new interface, the new look of the Gmail, get those cool tasks and calendar and keep note-taking application all integrated into your email, you just, again, same thing, go into the settings and do that little, press the little button, it'll be right there where it says try the new Gmail, and then it should be rolling out next week, and then we'll be getting more stuff when it comes, like I said, you're going to be getting more privacy stuff, you're going to have confidential messaging and stuff like that, so that's going to all be pretty cool regarding whether you're using it for work, personal, school doesn't matter. So it's gonna be all fun in the game. Google is really trying to get at that. We also talked about different gaming stuff, Nintendo, and their massive. I mean, they're gonna be really happy with the fact that what they got out of the Nintendo Switch. I really kind of commended them. I was doing a little fanboying a little bit with the Nintendo Switch earlier in the earlier segment, but because I mean it's quite a cool console and they did a really nice job with it, and they're definitely being rewarded with some very nice sales numbers and making some real cash off that, and also their developers and all the gaming companies are pretty happy as well because they're selling a lot of games on that Nintendo Switch. All right. That's going to wrap it up for today. And everybody enjoy the weekend. This is a Thursday as we're going to head into the weekend. It's going to be fun. Everybody go play your Nintendo Switch. Go play some Fortnite. Go figure out what that comment means. Whether I'm right, and it's really about the new season. But I mean, it probably is. But why else would they put it? So everybody have a good time, and we'll see you on Tuesday. So see you then.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Technology Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.